All right, I think we are about ready to begin here. So this is the first day of our revisits, and we have four motions on our agenda. First one regarding human rights, the second about the highway road program, the third about the finance department, and the fourth about rural libraries. And of course, people can add others during this process as well. Jim, did you have a question?
No, I'm glad to hear you say what you just said because I want to add something at the end.
Oh, okay. All right. Yes, Frank.
Not to put Norma on the spot, if you need help with the computer, I'd be happy to help you. At some point, are we going to have an update on the latest and greatest from the state as it affects youth services and the health department? Is that
what little we know right now?
It doesn't have to be right now. At the end of the day,
we won't know exact numbers at the end of the day, but I've got a ballpark number right now. We won't know exact numbers probably until after November.
Or isn't there some information that came to us in the last...
Norma has a total of all of the known information right now. She can give that to you. But that's incomplete information when you look at the entirety of the organization.
Right now, we've got an almost known number of $163,000.
Hundred and how much?
$163,000.
But that transcends a lot of different departments.
That's right. Correct. The health department.
But the issue there really is that that's based on the old formulas, and we're 99% sure that formula is going to change. So, yeah. It's interesting information, but it's not meaningful.
It's not really relevant.
Yeah.
Okay.
All right.
Thanks. Okay,
no problem. All right, we're going to start the meeting actually with a resolution. This is just budget committee work here. We have a resolution for funding of tourism website upgrade. And if I can have somebody move that. I believe you have it on your desk.
I have a point of clarification. Yeah. We haven't seen this before, have we?
No, you have not seen this before.
So it wasn't in any packet 2 weeks ahead of time?
That's true. Yeah, it
was. So there was no previous notice about this?
That would be correct. Yes. No. All right.
Do we have to act on this today, or could it wait till Monday?
You could wait till Monday. I was going to put on the legislature's agenda pending committee action.
Okay.
It went through PDF last week.
It did.
Yes.
Okay. Well, then, do people want to wait till Monday so that there's time to at least a week to, or not a week, but 5 days to look over it? Or do you want to act on it now?
Kathy?
Well, it doesn't have an amount in it.
Yeah,
12,000.
Mine has blanks.
No, that's the wrong resolution. The one you have, Kathy.
Yeah, this is the one with $12,000.
Okay.
Y'all know how I don't like things at the last minute. Yeah. I'd really like a chance to look it over, but it's since it went to PDAC, y'all are going to do whatever you're going to do.
Okay, all right. So Mike, you moved it. All right, do I have a second? All right, Michael Quigler seconds. And is there any discussion on this?
Can I have a minute to read it?
Sure, absolutely. Let's take a minute to read it.
That's always a good practice, I feel.
Yes. Julie?
I'm going to ask Martha, since it went through your committee, Does CVB have a long-term contract with some website designer? Or is, and this is an amendment to that contract? Or is this something that it might be time to go out for bid for? How does that work with CVB?
I asked that. Do you remember, Carol?
Because
I think the answer that we asked that question, and the answer was that this is the same company that designed the website before and knew all of the workings of it to add the features that they want to add, that it made much more sense for the same firm to do it than to start with somebody new.
So they have a long-term contract with this firm?
A relationship. I don't know about a contract. I don't know if they have an ongoing maintenance contract or anything, but they have. They've used them. They've been satisfied. The upgrades include things like a place for visitors to log in and sort of give their comments. You know, it was, hey, you really ought to go to this, and I had a great time at that, and I hope they'll all be positive comments. But so it'll be more interactive from visitors. It'll be searchable. That sort of all the, you know, all the entries would, you could type in farmers market.
I'm sure they're good ways to improve it. I was just curious about the business relationship and whether.
Yeah, I think it was partly that they already
knew. Please raise your hand before you speak. Yeah, Carol?
It was partly that they already knew this particular website and how it was designed, and they were also knowledgeable about the other links to parts of the state that they, how those websites function rather than going to bid. Was the answer. Whether you like the answer or not is.
Julie?
I just want to indicate, Carol, that I would be asking the same questions about CNS as airport consultants. They know their way around the FAA. It's the same kind of answer, but periodically it's good to go out and look for somebody new. Yes. So I will accept what PDEC has agreed to. I won't argue. I was just curious.
Okay. Any other questions? Yes, Kathy.
For myself, because I just got this, I haven't had a chance to look it over. I'm reading it now. I'm trying to comprehend it. What I'm hearing is there was no bid put out. There is no contract in effect. We have no list of criteria. And as I said, I didn't get any advance notice. Even though it'll probably pass, I'm going to go ahead and do my discretion and vote no on it. Not because I don't think that the Convention of Visitors Bureau, you know, probably really needs an update on its website, and it's a good thing to do. It's a process piece for me.
Thank you, Kathy. All right, are we ready to vote? All those in favor of the resolution and funding of tourism website upgrade, please raise your hand. 10 and oppose? 1. So that passes 10 to 1. Okay, on to our revisit schedule here. Julie, you want to bring up your motion?
Sure. This was delayed or deferred from yesterday, so everyone is familiar with it, the paralegal position, correction in the dollar amount, and there is additional information in print now from Sean Martel Moore, which I assume everybody has, that indicates the history of the position. It has been full-time, and also was what was handed out are the data about the workload that she gave orally yesterday. So I think the motion that was withdrawn that I'm putting forward again is to correct the position to have it be 28,903 target funding.
Okay.
Does that sound right?
Yes, and that is target in lieu of rollover, right? Is that
23,000
change. That's right, 23,500, something like that.
Okay. And do I have a second? Kathy Luz Herrera, seconds. All right, discussion. Go ahead, Jim.
Can someone tell me what the salary is for the position for the year?
What the salary of what?
What the salary is for the year.
For that position?
Right. Is that on here?
Yes, $36,558.
Sean, do you have anything to add to that? Or is that right?
No,
okay. All right. Martha?
Do fringes just not go in here?
Fringes are in a separate account.
Separately, okay.
But that is a good point, because
we have to move that, too.
Oh, do we?
Fringes for that position were already put in the budget.
Okay, so they're already in there. Just when you add a new position, keep in mind that in the budget process, the department may bring forward the cost of the position for the department. There's also the fringe cost.
Okay, so the target salary is 36,558. The rollover to be applied is 23,533.
Yeah, and in the current budget, she has 7,500 and change already in target.
So what we'd be, could you tell me what we'd be adding if we voted on this to the tax levy?
For next year, we would be adding about $5,400.
$5,400?
Yes. Sorry. And then in years following that, though, then it will be an additional $23,700.
Correct.
Right. Other questions? Yes, Jim.
Let me just be very clear.
Sure.
Last year, it was not a target position. And this year, or in the 2009 budget, it would be a target position.
In the 2009 budget, it's the recommendation, or the request now is target, yes.
Is for, but in 2008, it was not.
No, it was.
It was.
It was.
Yes.
Sean, do you want to add anything you would like?
I just want to reiterate, it's been a targeted position since 1998.
Since when? Sure.
Since 1998. It's always been a targeted position.
Okay, Frank.
Sean, as long as you're at the microphone, the spreadsheet that you gave us, I, like Kathy, haven't had a chance to read this whole thing, so bear with me. But that position shows that in 2004, it was funded at 35,632. Then for 2005, it dropped to 15 and change as halftime. And 2006, it continued at halftime. But in 2007, it looks like it went back to full time. What happened in 2005 and 2006 to make that halftime?
You asked me to reduce my budget. And so that's what I did at that particular point in time. I had someone who vacated position throughout the year, so I was able to reduce that. And at one point, as I indicated before, I had $10,000 in the professional services line. You increased it back that year to $10,000 so that I could hire additional interns to substitute. But that particular year, I was, as the prior years, I've been trying not to ask for OTR, and I've been utilizing my rollover in the department, so that's pretty much what I've been doing.
Okay, other questions? Mike.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, sorry.
That's okay. Let Mike go, and I'll come
all
back
right,
to me.
All right, Mike.
Well, I have a bigger question that I don't know if we'll be able to. I have a bigger question, I guess, and I don't know if you really want to get into it today, but I guess my main question is, are we treating Human Rights Division as an investigative unit or as an advocacy unit? Because in my mind, the two don't really mesh. So I'm kind of wondering which direction we plan on going forward with the Human Rights Division.
Actually, both of them are our goals, to be advocates as well as do the investigation.
Okay. Well, then I guess I'll ask the legislature at some point if we could take that up. Because I don't see those
two
as being.
Can you clarify that, Mike? I mean,
it seems to me if you're going to take an advocacy role for someone who comes in, for example, and we're going to file the forms on their behalf, mm-hmm. and we're taking that kind of advocacy role, then we can't take an investigative role. Because who's going to believe the investigation if you've already picked a side in the dispute? It seems to me, how can you get a fair investigation? Whereas if you're going to do a fair investigation, whereas both sides are being treated equally. Say it's an employer and an employee. If you're going to do an investigation, then both sides are weighted equally. You're really not in an advocacy role. I mean, yes, you're advocating human rights because that's, I mean, who doesn't do that? But I guess what I'm saying is it would be hard to get an impartial investigation if we're pulling for one side. You know what I'm saying?
I don't disagree, and I think this is just a piece of the process you might not be familiar with. When an individual approaches our department, we may immediately resolve it through an advocacy role. Okay. All the cases do not go through a full-blown investigation. But even if we were in investigation mode, by law, we are required to offer alternative dispute resolution. By law, anyone can settle a case all the way up to the point of the actual hearing. Hmm. So that's by law. That's not changeable unless we're going to go change the law itself. Okay. That's part of the process, and we explain that to individuals so they know they have a way out of the process. They can either withdraw from the process and stop the investigation altogether. They can reach a settlement, and that's part of the process. And that's pretty much our primary goal. And I would say the majority of the cases, they are settled, pretty much.
Okay. All right. Other question? Oh, I'm sorry, Frank, and then I have Carol.
Thanks, Nathan.
Yep.
Sean, in the description for this position, it says this position will be instrumental in the planning of the transition phase for merging government departments in an effort to provide effective and timely legal services while simultaneously producing long-term positive effects on our local tax base, as well as assist in all aspects of the Commission's work during the transition period. Has the responsibility for this position changed since this write-up was done?
The responsibility hasn't changed. That would have been a potential new responsibility, but we did update that job description, Frank. So that's not the same one.
So what is the, off the top of your head, what's the job description for this position?
The job description is as is, basically to do investigations, alternative dispute resolution, to draft complaints, memorandum of law, to do research.
Thank you. Right. Good.
Carol.
I think it's great for the office that your time will go back to being full-time. If I were somebody coming to that office wanting to be represented, I would feel more comfortable knowing that a...
Carol, could you use your microphone,
please? I was trying to address Sean, but hard to do at the same time. I think it's great that Sean is coming back full-time to that office. And if I go to a legal office and want representation, I feel better knowing that I'm getting the real thing rather than a paralegal, although I recognize that paralegals can help ease the workload. So I think that's great. I'm still having trouble understanding why, when we will now have a full-time professional person with a law degree back in the office, we then still need to have the total FTEs in the office rise by 0.4. It would seem to me that having Sean back in the office, or whoever the person is, should mean that we have less of a need for the extra paralegal help. So I'm just not necessarily seeing the justification. I don't see the justification in the change in the numbers. Don't seem to be significant enough to raise the staffing level, essentially, especially when one of those, 0.4% of that staff person is going to be at a higher level, a more professional level of service. So that's the problem that I'm having, if you could... address that any differently than
Carol. I don't mean to put words in Sean's mouth, but as I recall from our previous discussions, what she had said is that basically she has, because there's time limits on all these cases, they have to be processed within a certain time period. She's been going back to the office and doing that work anyway, because it has to be a lot of it has to be done by a person, with a specific educational law background. And she had interns in the past, but the funding is running out for those interns, and so as a result, needs to be done by somebody else, and as a result, this paralegal position would go back to full time to help make up for that loss in those interns. That's just one aspect of it. Am I wrong, or is that about accurate?
That's correct.
Okay. All right. Julie, Kathy, and then Frank.
Well, Nathan, you took most of the words right out of my mouth. I assumed as chair you probably wouldn't be answering directly, so I was prepared to answer. the other thing that I will add is that although, Carol, to you it looks like an increase in staffing, it's a return to what it had been. And there is an increased caseload, even if it doesn't seem that big to you. So I think it's fully justified.
Kathy and then Frank.
Thank you. The paperwork that we got today was actually papers that we asked for, and that's why we didn't get them way ahead of time, because we asked for these yesterday. I appreciate the quick turnaround. Looking at the front page, it's clear to me that the historical context that's been reiterated by Nathan and clarified by you and Dooley shows that there was a time in the office when you had less than the four FTEs, and that you've made a great explanation of how you utilized interns and ended up using your own personal time to fill in for that. This is another example of a department going beyond the call of duty. It calls to mind Barbara Blanchard's words again about no good deed goes unpunished. I think it's time to recognize the additional efforts and just return them, make them whole, and I appreciate the effort of bringing this forward. That's why I seconded this, and I think it's important that we make this target.
Frank?
Well, I think Kathy sort of answered part of my question. I thought Carol was going to propose leaving this as a one-time, only because with Sean going back, or whomever, going back over, weighing the effect of having a full-time attorney in there might, in a year, give us some time to evaluate this again. That's what I thought you were going to do. So I'm wondering if you would entertain seconding the motion to make this one-time funding.
I'd be comfortable with that.
Okay, I'll move to make this one-time.
Steve, real quick. Now, if we do make this one-time, is it actually only like $5,400-some because the rollover would be used?
Correct.
Right. So this is. So the total amount would be for that would be.
$5,500. I haven't got the numbers in front of me.
Yeah. Alright. Well, okay, so that's seconded by Carol?
Yeah, I'll second it.
Alright. And I have Kathy and then Michael Kmicklaire.
I just want to point out that in the original budget, this was an error that this was printed as one time. The budget that Steve came up with and that the department had worked on and that everyone that was assumed to be the basis of the budget was as target. So what we're basically doing is taking back from the department if we make this a one-time.
Okay. Mike?
I won't be supporting making it one-time. The county administrator gave us a budget with a couple different policy decisions throughout it. Whether we want to fund workforce, instead of going one-time, do we want to fund it on a target basis? Sunday hours at the library, other kinds of decisions like that. Periodically throughout our budget, we're having these policy decisions. Here's a policy decision about do we want a one-time fund this particular position in this department, and I see the history warrants target funding to keep them at the staff level that they need to perform the service that the community expects.
I have Pam, Martha, and then Frank.
Yes, I won't support making this one-time. I think that just because the position for 2 years they scraped by with the interns doesn't mean that that's the way that we would want them to be working, and I appreciate the fact that Sean was willing to cut back that position and try and use the interns for those 2 years. And so I will not support making it one time. I think we should just go back to where it was at full time.
Martha.
Back to looking at the big book, the original white page 141. And I want to just make sure I have the numbers right, because it says here, if you go across, you see the target base, there's 7655. Then the OTR request is 36558, and the total request is 44213. So is that part of the mistake? Is the amount Is the salary 44,213, or is it?
That was an error. That was at a 40-hour. We're looking at a 35-hour work week at 36,588.
Okay.
So that's an error.
Yes.
That's correct.
Okay. All right. Thank you.
Frank.
Pam, the reason that I suggested one time wasn't because of the interns. It was because of the of Sean going back as a full-time attorney there, as a full-time individual in that department because of the expertise that she brings to that area. If I read this right, they've reduced the intern line, or what had been going on the professional services. They've reduced their requests there. The sheets that were given out today imply that. So my rationale is the fact that I think Sean brings much more experience than any intern can possibly bring. That was my thinking in going back to making this a one-time, regardless of whether it was an error in the printing or not. And we're only talking about $5,000, and what was it, Steve, $5,053?
We don't seem to have any limit in terms of our time wanting to talk about this one. Let's go for it.
All right. What was that amount, Steve? What ended up being? $5,370. Okay. All right. I have Jim.
I pass.
Okay. Are we ready to vote? All right, all those in favor of the amendment to make this one time in the amount of $5,370 and for the department to use $23,533 in rollover.
I want a point of clarification.
Yes.
Yeah. Because we've got people that walked in, they didn't know what the original motion was. Could
yes.
you just recap?
The original motion was to make the paralegal position in the Human Rights Division target. For the amount of $28,903 and with the use of $23,533 in rollover next year. And that would be that was the original motion.
But we're not voting on
that. Frank made an amendment of making this one time. Since there's $23,533 one time, the motion only needs to be $5,370 in one time.
And I seconded it.
and Carol seconded it. All right. So all those in favor of the one time and the amount of $5,370. All right. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Okay. And opposed. Mm-hmm. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. Is that right? 7? Mm-hmm. So that fails 5-7. Okay, now we're back to the original motion, which is the 20. I'm not going to repeat it all, but basically target $28,903. So is there any other discussion? All right, with that, it looks like we're ready to vote. All those in favor, and I don't need to repeat it, right? Okay, all right. All those in favor, please raise your hand. Seven and opposed. And that passes 7-5. And because this is an expanded budget and capital committee meeting, we don't need 8 votes. It's just the majority of those present at the meeting. Okay? All right. Grace. This didn't take too long, all right? Okay, moving on. Highway Road Program. Carol, you have a motion for us, is that right?
I do, and this goes to the capital budget.
Okay.
Actually, if you have your capital budget books and want to follow along, it is on page 2 of the first blue sheets in the capital budget. And it is to reduce the capital portion of the road program, and I think it's the discretionary funds from in this next year's budget from they're currently listed as $201,500, and I would move that out a year. So I would reduce our budget. I would reduce that by $201,500. And here's the reason that I'm proposing doing that. I understood.
How about a second?
Oh. Yeah.
Are you talking about the 2008 figure?
All right, Michael Kamingalera, seconds.
No, the 2009 road program figure.
171,000.
I am 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. It's like the sixth line down under BAN road program, 2009 budget.
What number are you dealing with? Mine says 201,500.
Yep.
Yes. That's the number I'm looking at.
Okay.
You would make it zero.
Well, I would either make it, depending on, I'll move to make it zero.
You're saying pushing it out a year?
Yeah, to push it out a year.
Right.
Not so to make it zero for 2009, but push the program out a year. So.
All right, and that was seconded by Mike, right?
Mike.
Yes.
Okay.
Okay, so go ahead, Carol.
So. My sense is that we're talking about a $1.6 million. I'm not sure where it is all in the budget, and I'm not sure I've got the right place. And if the sentiment of the group is to put it somewhere else, I would go along with that. But my sense is we're talking about $1.6 million that we've set aside for capital roads improvement. I got, when we were going through the over-target requests and the maintenance budget on the road money, that people didn't want to put off the maintenance, that was important to do. I still think that in this climate of tough economic times, of transportation changes where, you know, I think people's modes of transportation may be changing and that a year from now we might know a whole lot more than we know now about how those changes might be starting to play out. In the climate of, we're starting to see technological changes in materials development, that we might be starting to see changes in materials to ones that aren't as oil-based that we may be able to use as we build new roads. And then I heard last night in the economic plan being proposed at the federal level, if Obama wins the election, one of the things that's in his new economic plan is $25 billion specifically to that localities could apply for, if I understand it correctly, to make up for cuts they've had to make for local infrastructure. And I'm not clear about how that, as that plays out, whether those that haven't had to cut won't have as good a chance at getting some of that new money should it become available. So for all of those reasons, my sense is that a good step to take this year would be to find approximately $200,000 cut of that $1.6 million, that this would be a good time to put that off. And that's what I'm looking for a way to do. If this,
all right, hold on.
That was the only line that said discretionary, so if it isn't the right place to do it, I'd entertain an amendment about where else to put that in. But that was the concept.
Okay. All right, I'm going to call on David first and then Ed.
Well, two things. Probably the largest consideration about dealing with the capital program is that we have a hole in that capital in the debt service area because Schwinn revenues never came in. We were projecting money there. So you shouldn't touch it at all. Secondly, if you postponed the program, it would have no impact on the budget because the 2008 road program, the borrowing that occurred in March of 2008, comes due in March of 2009. That is a mandatory payment we have to make. If you cut the 2009 program, that wouldn't be paid for till 2010, so it would have no effect on 2009's financial plan. So what I'm telling you is that doing that will not result in any savings or give you any ability to transfer monies within the 2009 financial plan. It would only cost you money because we would be further behind and the cost of the cost of materials is rising and it further diminishes when you do go and make the investment at a later date.
Questions for David. Pam?
David, I didn't understand your first point about are not getting any money from Schwinn.
Schwinn, a lot of the
SWN,
the State Wireless Network. We presumed that we were going to start receiving income in the capital plan beginning in 2009, and no one has any confidence that that is going to occur because we don't have an agreement. Therefore, the foundation of the capital plan is very shaky based upon that revenue which was incorporated in there.
All right, other questions for David? All right, Ed?
I just want to clarify. I'm not sure whether it needs clarification, but cutting 200,000 really means cutting 1.6 million in expenditures. The 200,000 is the debt service on 1.6 million. So you're not cutting 200 out of 1.6, you're cutting 1.6 in spending. And honestly, that aside from the highway perspective, fiscally, that's not what you want to do when the economy is going down, really, is start cutting your construction spending. I mean, it's just not a good fiscal policy either, but that's another story. But it would be 1.6 million, which is kind of half of what we do in a year, basically. And that would mean that the third of the program for this year we didn't get done might not even get done next year. And none of what next year's program would get addressed, most likely.
Okay. So, Carol, do you want to, do you still want to keep your...
Well, I still have questions then.
Yeah.
We've got a how many year capital program to work on our roads?
It's five and a half.
Five and a half years.
We're in the middle of a 5.5 year program.
And we're doing a piece of it each year. So, I guess I'm not understanding how there's no way to make a decision to put off some of what we were going to do.
I'm not saying there's no way to make a decision. You could cut
for half of this.
If you cut it in half, you'd be cutting 200,000 to 100,000, not to zero, and you'd be getting 800,000 of work instead of 1.6 million. I mean, the way we budget capital, that would be the effect of doing something. But you don't. To cut out 200,000 of the 1.6 million would be to reduce the budget by a small, 20,000 or something. I'm not sure what it would be exactly, but something in that range.
Well, one way of kind of looking at it, if I might go out on a limb here, is like, I mean, it's basically you're taking out a bond, right?
First year is a bond anticipatory note, and then it gets permanently financed, I believe, for a 10-year period.
Right. So, once you take out that money, I mean, so basically this money signals that we're going to take out that full $1.6 million bond, right?
Right.
So if we don't spend that money, then it means that we're not going to take out that 1.6. But we've already taken out, we haven't taken any out of it yet.
Well, not of that money, but we've got 2 years and a half, I think, into the program that we have at this point.
Oh, I see. Okay.
Where else does the highway... there are several other spots in the 2009 budget that highway money turns up. There's $1,480,000 up here under the highway federal aid projects. There were several other spots as you go down through here.
Road program,
$171,000.
There's basically three components to the capital program for highway. There's the federal aid projects, our share of multiple projects that are in process right now, things like Hanshaw Road, Warren Road, those major projects that are federal aid, and they're kind of all lumped together, and our local share is in there. There is the Ellis Hollow Road project, which is listed there, which is a totally locally funded standalone capital project that's been on the books for years, and we're hoping to get it actually under construction in the next year. And there is the road program, which is for the county highway system as a whole to upgrade the roads throughout the entire system by investing additional capital funds to do more work. So those are the three things that are in the capital program.
And what is the total of all three of those?
Well, it's whatever those three lines are. There's three lines.
1.4.
For Ellis Hollow, for the federal aid program, and for the road maintenance program.
So it's 100,000 plus 1.4 plus 171 plus 200. So I'm looking for a way out of all of that. So it's what, 2 million? So it's about $2 million. I'm looking for a way. You tell me if we could cut a piece of that, out of that 2 million, to put off 200,000 of it or 100,000 of it. That, and I understand that there's a certain number of crews, that this means maybe the third crew would be doing other work than highway building, that they might be available to fill
in
other crews.
There's ways not to spend the money if you don't allocate the money. But that will just put us further behind, and roads will deteriorate to the point where you spend more on the ones we don't get to next year, the following year, or some year thereafter because they're in worse condition. I mean, not only do you not save money in the long run the way David explained it because the way the financing works, but obviously you can do this. This is the reason for the five-year capital program was that we did do this in the past, and now we're paying for it.
Right.
So we can choose to do this and then pay for it again in the future if you wish. I don't think next year's budget's going to be a time to recoup and actually have an opportunity to catch up again. I suspect if we cut it now, it will not return.
Okay, now, Carol, I mean, is it to get to what you're aiming at? I mean, isn't that kind of what you did last time with when you supported that $75,000 reduction? I mean, that was kind of the same thing, wasn't it?
Right. No, I'm understanding now that was maintenance, and this is I'm now asking to look at capital, and I just want to make it clear that I'm not talking about cutting 200,000 of a 200,000 budget. I'm asking if there are ways to put off 200,000 of that $2 million and looking for guidance about the best place to do that should we want to. If nobody else wants to, then
right.
I'll have
I'm
raised
gonna
it.
Just for more clarification here, I'm sorry, I know there's other people that are speaking, but I'm going to go, I need to go Norma and then Bill.
I just
you're like fourth on the list, okay, sorry.
You're talking about a $2 million amount that's in this budget. We may be financing $2 million, but we're budgeting for about $500,000, okay? Because as you see, I put the capital program up on the screen. The Ellis Hollow Road project, that's all local share. Then you have the Highway Federal Aid project at $1.5 million with offsetting revenue, so that's about $130,000 or so. The road program's $171,000. We bonded for that. We have to pay that amount. So the only number that can be affected here is the Ellis Hollow Road project. The rest of them we're committed to do, and the discretionary spending, which is a $1.6 million cut to the highway budget, not a $200,000 cut to the highway budget.
So I think this is the wrong point in the process if you wanted to make that kind of decision. Yeah, Bill?
Let me just add that 3 to 4 years ago, I got here 3 years ago, and the road system was deteriorated to a point where this legislative body said, you know, we can't take this any longer. We have got to come up with $8 million over a period of 5 years to catch up with our system deterioration. Okay? We've been trying to do that. I've showed you numbers where materials, blacktop is on $88 a ton right now. Okay? It's going to go down in December, January, and February, but come May, June, July, it's going to go back up. The point I'm trying to make is a number of years ago, our system was deteriorated. Okay, this body decided they wanted to fix that problem. We're trying to fix it. Inflation is eating away at this. So, you know, whatever you cut is not going to help the entire road system.
So, Carol, do you still want to maintain your motion?
Give us a second.
I second it, but you can withdraw.
Okay. All right. In that case, I'm going to go to our actual speakers list.
Give me a second here.
Yeah.
Okay. Then I will withdraw it if there seems to be no other support for it.
Oh, come on, we're ready to argue. Oh.
I think some of the comments, though, this is going to come up again. Perhaps there's some pertinent information that we ought to get out on the table so that we don't, every time a lot. Anyway, I think some of us deserve an opportunity to speak.
Okay, that's fine. Okay. And after you speak, we'll withdraw. This is a committee meeting after all, so technically
if I hear other support
work
for it, I may not withdraw.
So, all right, I'm going to go Kathy, Frank, Martha, Dewey, Will, and... Yes, okay, that's it. Oh, and Steve, sorry. All right, and Steve.
You're still here?
Maybe not.
All right, Callie.
I appreciate you making the motion and making an attempt to be, you know, fiscally innovative in this. I know it's a big target, and the kind of slicing and dicing that we have been wont to do in the past makes us think that this might be a place to do it. I know that I'm somebody who 4 or 5 years ago, when we decided to capitalize the highway improvement program, was very uncomfortable with it. I'm still uncomfortable with the scope and extent of it, and as y'all know, I chip away at it from time to time because I feel that there are times when this department can be encouraged to share the pain. This year, I think that they've done a lot to share the pain, but I also heard in your proposal, Carol, some assumptions that are, to me, a little bit alarming. One of them is the assumption that because there may be some more federal dollars coming, that somehow that means that we could cut the capital program. And what I know from serving on the Facilities Committee and on the Budget Committee is that's actually not good logic. The other one is knowing about alternatives, paving methods, and being interested in them. Many of them, is, in fact, everyone that I've heard about and looked into a little bit, they're more expensive. And the last piece is quality of life issues. Our residents, when they talk to us about roads, what they want is wider roads. They want bike paths. They want walking paths. That's more pavement, not less. So all of the reasoning that you came up with doesn't really hold water with me. However, if you remember at the beginning of the budget process, throughout the year with the facilities process, and in the budget committee, I routinely favor and try to look at ways to be more fiscally responsible with the road program, particularly in years when we can't spend all the money that we get, which has happened in a couple of years in the past. That's not the issue that we're having this year, and I believe that we're going to spend all that we've got next year, and that's why I wouldn't support the suggestion that you made for the capital program. And I have tended to believe, barring any news that comes to us between now and the time we vote on the final budget, that the highway department has pretty much gotten where the best that they can get in terms of giving us a value return on the budget this year. So that's where I'm at with this. And I wanted to say this in particular and raise my hand early because everybody that sits around this table knows that I'm among the first to try and cut the highway and among the first to try and support ways to encourage the highway to be more fiscally responsible. And I'm endorsing that. I think that they've gotten there this year, and it would be disastrous, I think, to do what you're proposing.
All right. Frank.
Thanks, Nathan. And thanks for being patient and letting us have a chance to do this.
Sure. Yeah.
Carol, I too appreciate your effort to trim. And of course, because these numbers are large, and I think this is a large enough number for us to talk about, right, Pam?
But for how long?
Well, there's 7 or 8 other people that are on this list. The concern, I want to talk at least as long as you do.
Okay, okay. That's
pretty well. All right. When we set up that program 5 years ago for the long range, I mean, I don't want to reiterate everything Bill and everybody else has already said, but I'd like to make an offer to Bill and probably to Ed. We used to have a highway tour where we take county legislators out on a bus to look at the state of our highways. And I would suggest that we reinstitute that because perhaps some people are not as familiar with the condition of some of the roads that we all hear about in our rural districts. And it might be an eye-opener for some of them. This also sets up the need for priority setting. And I think Kathy's absolutely right. Everybody is clamoring for a method to get into town or wherever they have to get to work. We're trying to promote TCAT and bus services and whatnot. And it also gives us an opportunity to set up timing alternatives. To try to do this at this point in time will only affect David's level of stress in trying to come up with that budget payment or that debt service payment next year. And Carol, as much as I know that some are in favor of a particular presidential candidate, I would hate to play poker based on wondering if the feds are going to come across with money regardless of who's president. Because all of us have seen the length of time it takes for some of these programs to kick in. And it's a long way between now and whenever that the money that you heard about might be available. And while I respect your opinion on that, I'd hate like heck to really bet the rent on doing that kind of planning. But I do admire your effort. And once and for all, this department deals with big numbers because the expenses are large. And it gets tiring to have them be a target all the time. It really does. Thank you.
Thank you, Frank. Okay, and before I call on Martha, I want to remind everybody that this motion has been withdrawn. Carol withdrew it.
No, so. I didn't withdraw it yet. I said,
oh, you didn't?
I would let the discussion happen.
Oh, okay.
If I hear support for it, I might not withdraw.
Oh, I see. Okay, all right. Well, wonderful.
But I will withdraw it in order to...
How about a straw poll?
Okay, but I will withdraw it if everybody keeps talking longer.
All right, okay. Martha.
I was, you know, my first term, I think I sat one seat over and would have said all the same things that you did. So I appreciate that. I think I've been educated. I say that without hubris, just that I have heard over and over again, you know, and seen the difference that this funding makes. I have a question because I've always had this question, and Will leaned over and said we should cut Ellis Hollow Road. So can I ask? I've always wondered, why is it out there as a separate item? It seems like it should be in the road program. Is that because when I was, you know, ran the first time, I said, well, why don't you cut Ellis Hollow Road? Nobody really cares yet. So is that why it's separate?
No, it's not. It's because it predates the five-year road maintenance program, for one thing. It was an separate capital project because the project cost. It was identified as a need. There was no federal aid. The project cost defined it as a capital project, and it was put in and identified separately as an independent project and funded independent as an independent project. So, I mean, we could do other roads that way. We haven't lately, but we have in the past. There were other roads that were on there as separate capital lines in the past.
Does road program, those aren't federal aid projects,
no.
Right?
No, that's the five-year program. But Ellis Hollow was a separate capital project before we instituted the five-year program. And if we had to do Ellis Hollow as part of the five-year program, we'd probably be asking you for $2.2 million a year instead of $1.6 to cover it.
Okay. Thank you.
Wasn't that road formerly known as Robertson Way?
Okay. Will, then Steve, then Greg, and then we're going to see if Carol's...
Dooley.
Sorry, I have Dooley. Dooley, Will, Steve, and Greg. I think it's...
Kathy said everything I wanted to say but one thing, and that is, if I heard you right, Carol, you were talking about, you understood maintenance for this year, you weren't going to try to touch that, but this capital program is different. And to me, it isn't. It's deferred maintenance. So I think of it as really the same thing. That's all I wanted to say.
All right. David, did you have something to say?
Well, I just want to, there is some, the county, when there's this Government Accounting Standards Board, GASB, which we refer to a lot. Well, we had to implement this GASB 34, and that really creates an entity-wide financial statement. And that statement includes infrastructure. So now if you go to the financial report that's on file here, it shows you can measure additions to infrastructure and depreciation. And last year, 2007, we invested more than we depreciated in infrastructure. In the first year of the GASB conversion, we had a decrease. We depreciated more than we invested. So if you cut back in this $5 million that go into roads, permanent road improvements, you are going to see a deficit in dealing with our infrastructure, which is evaluated by, people who are interested in looking at these entity-wide statements, the health, not only the physical, but the physical health of the community.
Right. Will. Yes.
Thank you. Yeah. Carol, I hope you will withdraw it, but I want to compliment you, and please very sincerely, for bringing it up, because I know it took some courage. It is incredibly complicated. I don't pretend to understand it other than I have some appreciation of how complicated it is. And I am sympathetic to what I think is a need to take a look at our system and see if we cannot begin to shift the emphasis away from endlessly building roads to other kinds of vehicles, because I don't think that's our future. I think there may come a day when we're literally going to have to be downgrading and retiring roads, both in the interest in the economy and the environment. But I can tell you that probably doing it this way is not going to work. Mm-hmm. So I would be happy to work with you as part of a long-term effort to see if there's some way we can look at our system and prepare for the future, because I think this current system is not sustainable. It really is not. And at some point, we're going to have to retool. But all the systems that are in place right now sort of make it hard to undo that.
All right. I have Steve, and then Greg, and then Carol.
Just very briefly, I just want to support the department and reiterate that we reduced their initial budget request by $230,000, and this was not just them over-fluffing their budget. They had real genuine needs for all of that money, but they worked with us cooperatively, like many of the departments did, to achieve your 3% goal, and I just would hate to see you get them twice when they've already chipped in a very sizable amount.
Greg.
I'll be brief as well. Frank kind of touched on this. To us rural representatives, roads are extremely important. It's what we hear about probably more than anything else. In the town in which Jim and I share, he and Bill can attest to you that when a road project doesn't happen that the constituents think should, or a road project happens and it doesn't happen like the constituents think it should, we get called to the scene. We're invited right to the scene of the crime to see what the problem is. That's how important the roads are to our constituents. I would have loved to have voted in favor of the $200,000 one time yesterday. I just didn't think we could have or find $200,000 in corresponding cuts somewhere else, and I'm trying to balance my constituents' calls for lower taxes with better roads. But I think that this is a philosophical discussion of sorts, and I welcome looking at big parts of the budget that might be viewed by some as sacred cows that don't ever get looked at. That would be fun, but I don't think this is a good place for my constituents to be.
Thank you, Greg. All right, Carol.
Oh, okay. I just wanted to respond briefly to some of the remarks. Yeah. I just want to let you know that I do not in any way want to be perceived as asking our rural residents to live with anything that I don't feel that I live with on city roads every day, the traffic calming effects that come from the potholes that I drive around and the second back end of my car that I'm going through. And I used to really rail against it. I came to a sense that if we fixed up the roads and then we had to put in traffic calming devices, that we'd be paid twice. And at this point, we'd be all being encouraged to drive more slowly over all these bumps. And I wanted to thank Will for recognizing and bringing up that we are going to need to get somewhere else than where we are in our transportation system. And if some of us don't start bringing it up years ahead, if us visionaries don't start bringing it up years ahead, it will never get into discussion. So I was willing to stick my neck out here because I think it is something we need to start thinking about as much as we need to start thinking about greenhouse and gas emissions, and it's sort of all part of that same package. I would ask Bill and Ed to watch for any new regulations as they come out, because I do think that it was what was talked about on the federal level was specifically in terms of where there needs to be some easing of pain for those localities that have had to specifically cut their infrastructure costs. So I don't want us to look like we've been too together about it, and if that looks like an issue, please come back to us. It looks like I should withdraw the motion.
Okay.
With
you,
all
Carol.
That said.
Okay, we're ready to move on now, I think, and we're on the finance department. Dooley, you're bringing back your motion, is that right, from yesterday?
Yes, well, it got deferred pending Martha's surprise to me that she was investigating sources of revenue, which might help cover the necessary staff in finance, and so I guess I should. Should I move something and then hear what Martha has to say, or what?
Because regardless of what she says, you're still going to move something, right?
Well, but I don't know what.
Oh,
I'm
but in
move.
Terms of how the funding.
Because right. I don't know what she's going to say.
All right, Martha, why don't you go?
Okay. I'm a little uncomfortable because it's not completely buttoned down yet either, and I've been talking to Ed and David and Barbara Ekstrom, and it's about solid waste and.
Martha, you had like 12 hours. I mean.
Barbara went to sleep and she didn't return my call until 10 o'clock this morning. I don't know, go figure. So it seems to me that there is logic to solid waste supporting, and I'm also going to say something, because Barb said she was going to talk to you, David. Okay. Then I'll introduce David, you know, to actually answer this question, that there's interest in solid waste to support purchasing, staffing and purchasing, because she especially would like to see, and Ed supported this, would like to see us be able to move more quickly, that is to say, move at all on the green purchasing, that this, the lack of staffing in this position has really hamstrung the efforts to be more active on a green purchasing policy and even perhaps a green fleet policy. So Barbara and I talked about a dollar amount in the neighborhood, $50,000, but I would defer to David on this. So
she indicated to me that she could embrace a $40,000 support of a new position in purchasing. This transaction wouldn't have any impact on the tax levy because it's new money and new expenses. This all started off with a different conversation because yesterday, if you recall, we got to where I offered $73,000 of rollover for a $56,000 target increase. That's where we were, and then the waiting to see solid waste. So solid waste wanted to address an unmet need. Legislator Kiefer was chastising me for presenting a budget that didn't fund sustainability of staffing because I was using rollover, which is, tenuous. But I certainly would wholeheartedly support the $40,000 new position request because it is stressful in purchasing with only one person.
Yeah.
And we are spending a lot of time assisting, and we're really not able to provide the support that we need to in order to get to the next level of a sustainability initiative.
And this then would come out of the...
Take care of that.
Comes out of the solid waste budget, so not on the tax levy.
Right. It will be increasing revenues for solid waste, interfund revenues, and increasing appropriations.
All right. We still don't have a motion yet. Dooley, do you have one now then?
I need to understand the dollar amount that's actually, total dollar amount that's necessary for this new position?
It would
need to be fringe
and salary. About $40,000 would be a full-time purchasing.
And that includes fringe?
No, it doesn't include fringe. But the fringe is on in our department as the budget is constituted.
But the taxpayers still have to pay for it.
Yeah.
So I would assume that maybe the motion would be for a target amount
of $16,820.
Of the full amount with revenues to cover 40 of it and the rest.
Right. The balance that would go on the tax levy is $16,820.
Okay. So that would be my motion.
Does that sound right, David?
The 16 is the 38%, 37%.
It's 36.
Yeah. Are you still going to give us your rollover?
That was not...
So that's the motion. All right. Do I have a second? Martha seconds. Okay. Discussion. I have Pam and then Kathy.
Okay. I don't know that I completely understand this. So the salary position. What is the salary position? What is the salary? What are the fringes? And yes.
We believe that the salary level would be $41,780 for a 40-hour-a-week position. This is a purchasing assistant.
Right.
The fringe would be about $15,000, a little over $15,000.
Okay.
And the offsetting revenue is $40,000.
Okay.
Okay. That gives us a local share of $16,820.
Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
I have a quick question. This is 40 hours.
This is 40 hours.
Is your department still at 40 hours?
Yes.
Okay.
Kathy.
Thank you. I'm not going to support this. There's a bunch of reasons why. The chair of facilities isn't here. This is committee work. This was done outside the committee process. It hasn't been discussed in committee. It's a new position. As much as I support sustainability, I think it's a great idea. Shouldn't this go through the legislative process? I think that the notion of being flexible and trying to come up with something is just great, but legislators as a group, although there were private meetings and private phone calls between department heads, the chair of that committee is not even here, and I just find this singularly out of order process-wise. I love the idea of discussing these two separate problems, joining them together in this haphazard, pasted together, spur of the moment, outside committee, private meeting-enabled process is just not acceptable to me.
Okay. All right. I have Martha and then Carol.
Well, I'll let Carol go first.
Okay.
Yeah, I just wanted to commend Martha for having combed through the budget with as much detail as you did to find the spot where there was some money not being, you know, fully utilized that we could, try to, and realizing the connection to where it could be relevant and would apply. So I guess I would like us to find a way, even if people feel that this is too short a notice to do this, that we could bring it back up next week after the proper committee heads could have a chance to do it. I'd be ready to do it now, realizing that in a revisit it could be undone, but I thought this was particularly astute reading of the budget, and I'm glad to see that somebody is looking with that level of detail. If it were the other direction, if it weren't the department head saying, yes, I can easily do this and that's a relevant place to put that piece of money, I would object to it and would agree that it needed to go back through committee.
All right. Thank you, Carol. All right. I have Martha.
I spent part of the weekend looking through the whole book and... had this aha moment on Monday, and staff wasn't around. It was a holiday, so I sent the emails off Monday night and started, because I had a lot of questions about does this make sense and what happens here. And obviously, if this were, a month ago, I would have brought it to the committee. But Mike yesterday had said, Michael Lair had said, he has said several times he wants to make sure all the motions come before us today. That you know that we have to have everything on the floor today so that everybody can spend the weekend till the next revisit meeting chewing the whole thing around. So I apologize that it's not fully formed and it's not on paper yet and all that stuff. I did everything I could to try to connect with the staff that's involved, and literally as I had to leave the house, I was waiting for Barbara to call back after talking to David, so that's I didn't even get have time to make that connection. But the point was, Mike insisted that we had everything on the table today. So that's sort of the spirit in which I have brought it forward, and did the best I could on that.
David?
Well, I was just, it was my understanding that she was going to support one full-time position. And so I can clarify, but I don't think that would mean there would be any general fund target necessary, because the understanding was, she, you know, I said, well, a new position was going to cost $40,000. I didn't say $40,000 plus fringe, but I think that will be. I can clarify that with the full support of the position.
Yeah, she actually said $50,000
yeah.
to me, so.
She'll take it up on Monday after they get it cleared up.
Right.
Well, let's just go on rumor and innuendo. It works. It's
all right, well,
she apologized that she couldn't be here tonight, but so.
Yeah, Ed. I was going to call on Ed next. Ed, go ahead. And then you're next.
This has been discussed, and what's been agreed to is kind of in principle at this point. I don't think anybody's agreed to an exact dollar to fund a position in another department. I mean, I know many departments that would like more help from purchasing sometimes. But I think it makes sense, as long as we can fully think this through and make sure what we're doing is the appropriate thing to do. And I do agree with Kathy that the F&I committee ought to be aware of the impacts of this long-term, if this is going to be a long-term commitment. We haven't really talked about this. Is this a forever commitment? Is this a one-year commitment to try? I mean, we haven't really worked all that out in my mind. And right now, although we have a really great balance in solid waste, and we've had really good revenues from recyclables, the market, the bottom is starting to fall out of some of those markets. And so the revenues going forward may be much less than what we've had recently. So there's I think we do need to understand what we're doing. I think in principle, yes, we agree. I've talked to Barb. We've talked, and Barb's talked to David, and we agree that support for green purchasing is a good idea, and it may make sense for solid waste to support that. I'd rather have it worked out a little more than it is right now.
All right. Jim?
It always interests me to think about process. This legislature yesterday voted 9-5 to put $40,000 almost, I believe, in the legislative budget, and it did not go through a committee. What this discussion that Dooley brought up to me was, she wanted to fund a position in the finance department. What Martha brought was a way to pay for it. They're related, but I think the real issue is, do we want to support the position no matter how it's funded? I don't have a problem with the committee having a discussion about the use of the money, as he says or as Kathy says. I don't think that's important. I don't think that's related to whether the position gets funded or not. The position on its own, I think, can stand for us to do it. If we're lucky enough to have a way to fund it, great. And, you know, that discussion should take place. But I think originally it was Dooley never brought it saying, oh, I'm going to look for other revenue to do this. This is an important position. And she found the revenue, which is great also. So my sense is we should just vote on the position and see how that comes out.
All right. I have Pam and then Dooley, then Kathy, then Mike.
Well, I think there is a relationship between the position and funding it. I think that if people know that there's a way to fund it without increasing the tax levy, I think they would be more likely to vote for it. And we have lots of departments that have needs that we have not voted for their position, even though we know they have that need because there wasn't money for it. But I also think that even though Michael Klinkelaer has said that today is the deadline for these things, I think that we need to ask Mike to change that, because I think I agree with what Kathy and Ed Marks are saying, that we need to be more careful about this, because this isn't just a $40,000 one- or two-year funding. It's funding the whole thing, and it's also committing money from solid waste to fund this position. So I would ask Michael Klinkelaer to change his decision to allow for a bit more process to take place with this particular item.
Are you asking for an additional budget meeting?
No, I mean, we have one scheduled for October 20th. Do you want to move it to that? That's not your decision. I mean, it's up to Dooley, but I mean, we have another meeting. This is not the final meeting.
Well, I know, but I mean, Martha was saying that she brought this forward today because of Michael's decision, saying that all proposals had to be here today. And so I guess if Mike is willing to change that, then I would move it forward to the latest date that we possibly can, so that we can have some more discussions.
If I can clarify what I said, I heard from Mike that he wanted as much as possible,
proposals
that we knew were thinking of, to be brought forward today.
Okay.
So that we don't, blindside each other.
And then I just suggest that then we move this back, to whenever.
And by the way, I think that's a good idea. And I didn't want to bring it up yesterday because I hadn't even talked to Barbara yesterday. But
okay, Dooley.
Well, as Kathy noted, Leslin is not here at the moment, but F and I meets tomorrow afternoon, so I have no idea whether this is something that Ed would plan to bring up in his commissioner's report or not, but it seems like a good bet, so maybe it will be discussed at that committee. The need for additional staff in purchasing is pretty evident, and Jim made a good point that's really what I was focusing on, and I hope that the need is recognized broadly enough to support the idea of a position, and it should be a target position. But I'm perfectly happy to wait until Monday to vote on this, assuming you'll have a little bit more clarity.
Julie, I think you'll have more support if there was clarity on the funding stream, so that might be a good idea. So do you want to withdraw for today and we'll move to the moving
on
the 20th?
I'll just roll it forward again.
Okay. All right.
And I guess, so I'll withdraw it now. Okay. Whoever seconded it, thank you, Martha. It looks as though I'm up for the next thing, but I feel a need to talk about some other things today, so I want to mention to you what I want to talk about. I want to talk about funding for alternative fuel vehicles. I want to talk about COFA, and I want to talk about my investigations of possible tourism money, room tax money, to help support the Downtown Ithaca Alliance request for funding again from the county. So they're not on the schedule here, but
right.
Today,
well,
I'm going to bring those up.
You're within your right to do so at these revisit meetings. Yeah. Okay. So it's off the table, but I'm still going to let Kathy and then Martha talk.
Yeah. Thanks. The discussion helped me a lot. It's a nuanced subject, and I want to give all credit to Martha for doing the research, and I want to say that the points that people have brought up about process, are well taken. For me, I have this respect for the committee process. There are people that all year long educate themselves. They work with department heads. They listen to department heads' reports. They immerse themselves in the history of the various issues that the departments bring up. Sometimes going a decade into the past and sometimes projecting plans into the future for 5 years. Although we'd all like to be experts on all of these things, and some of us due to our longevity on the legislature probably know a lot more than others, any of us, even if we keep up with the minutes, may not know what's going on in a given committee. That's why I give a lot of weight to committee discussions, because it's the department has opportunity to come to the committee to throw something around, not just to an individual legislator who may have a particular agenda or a particular goal in mind, but to the entire committee, and have a committee process where we debate it and even make suggestions about more information that we want, find out directions that we'd like to go in with it, and it has a chance to bloom and mature. The reason I bring this up is because we're elected officials. That means that this is given representative impact that having one legislator who isn't even on a committee go and make phone calls doesn't have. I fully respect the notion of bringing stuff in, and I heard what Pam said about, you know, listening to what was seen as a deadline. And let's face it, I mean, for those of us that have been around more than a year or two, the budget process has improved and is a lot more transparent than it used to be, in part, I believe, because we've been responsive to what department heads have said about, don't just bring this on me the day before you're going to vote on it for the last time. Give me a chance to vet some information, bring you some information, and that consideration goes in both directions. So I think what we're dealing with is that balance of trying to be responsible to the public with long-term availability of information, trying to make sure the department heads have an opportunity to bring information to us, and still trying to be nimble with fiscal demands that just get worse by the day. So I'm going to back away from this a little bit. You know, I still have some issues about it, but I think that with some time and more explanation, and for me primarily, an opportunity to bring it before facilities and infrastructure, to know that the department head, as well as the chair of the committee, have had an opportunity to talk about this together, to know that the committee members have had an opportunity to weigh in on this with whatever questions that they might have, that will help me a lot. It's possible that in the budget crunch that this will get jammed through. As Jim pointed out, it's not the first time that things have been brought forward and jammed through without having the option to go before a committee. However, there are times when, as some people pointed out, it's relevant to more than one committee and might just be more effective to go to the whole legislature at once in the expanded budget committee, as this one is. So I appreciate Dooley's being willing to withdraw it for now. I think it is a complex issue with a lot of nuances, and I appreciate people being willing to think about it.
All right. Martha.
Just briefly, I will reprise something that Tim Joseph always used to say, which is that we all try to give each other a heads up, but our staff certainly knows, and that's why a lot of folks are sitting there where they had nothing on the agenda tonight, that motions can come up on the floor, and this is what we do. And, you know, I would have preferred to have thought of this 2, 3, 4 weeks ago, whatever, and I hope to come to the F&I committee meeting tomorrow, and it seems like a good opportunity to talk about this. So this is not to defend this suggestion. This is to put a marker down and say everybody here has the opportunity and the right to bring a motion forward and at any time until we pass the budget.
Okay, great. Dooley, you mentioned something about COFA. I thought we moved that to October 20th. We said we were going to talk about that October 20th because Lifelong has a board meeting tomorrow.
That's correct.
Okay.
All right. But
so you were just talking about...
I'm reacting to the chair's directive to
Sure. Okay. All right. Okay. So all right. Now, so we're going to move on now to rural libraries. I know, Jim, you had a motion that you wanted to bring forth, right?
Yes.
I'm not calling on you yet for it, but... we have Dooley next, but I just wanted to make sure, yeah.
Don't do that.
Okay. All right. Sorry. Yes, Carol?
Yeah. Clarify his directive. I understood it as pressure, please bring things if you can, but today was not a drop-dead day. I guess I'd like to understand it and then to understand.
If I might as budget chair talk about this, is that, look, the reason why that you have this revisit first is that it's a lot of point and counterpoint kind of stuff. What happens is that you have one meeting where people bring forth a lot of stuff. And during this revisit process, it's a lot of fine-tuning. And so what happens is that we might do something in one meeting, and we want to do as much as we can in that one first meeting. Because the next meeting, we're probably going to counter a good amount of that stuff, or at least, you know, address some of the things that were brought up at that meeting. Or there might be things that are brought up, like today, where we brought it up today, and we realized that we need to bring it forth at the next meeting. So that's why there was as much of a push as possible to bring stuff forth today. Because that way we can have that next meeting can be used to react to it. Now, of course, we might need to have other meetings in the future, but I think that we might be able to finish by October 20th. If we didn't bring forth this stuff today, then we would have brought it forth October 20th, and there would have been another meeting or another meeting in addition to that, and it just would have drawn out the process more than it really needed to be. And so I think that's really kind of the rationale behind that. I don't know if Mike has any other viewpoints, but that's how I take it.
That's a good summary, and I think the respectful part for department heads is the other part.
Yeah. Okay. All right. So with that, Dooley, you have a motion regarding rural libraries.
That was a very long time ago. And the adding the full amount for the new town of Lansing library in 1 year is what I wanted to revisit, especially because in some of the discussion, some people were indicating that they were viewing this as a prelude to a reduction for all libraries. And I hate to think of it that way. So I wanted to propose instead that we give Lansing a smaller target for 2009 and the balance in one-time funding and then see what happens next year. So my motion is to reverse our previous decision, still make Lansing receive the same amount in 2009 since now they're probably counting on it, but to do it one time, 10,000 in the balance, 10,000 target in the balance one time. So that's my motion.
All right. And do I have a second? I second it. All right. Okay. So let me just reiterate those numbers. Norma, are those the numbers that we have up there? Is it 33,800 was the total?
33,800 was the total.
All right.
29,870 is the allocation for the Lansing Library.
All right. I'm sorry. 33,800 is what we voted on last time.
Right. The total amount for the Lansing Library is 29,870 to bring them to the same level as the other rural libraries.
Oh, okay. So we're talking 29,870.
That's
correct. So, Dooley, your motion is to make target 10,000 and then the remaining 19,870 at one time.
Yes.
That's right. Okay. And discussion about this, I have Carol, then Will, then I have the comments.
I just wanted to ask somebody to review what it was that we did in that extensive discussion we had last time. I believe Mike has it out, but somebody else could do it.
Mike, go ahead.
On September 30th, if you want to go to your minutes or your notes, page 2, we moved one time for 29,870. It was amended to target, 10,000 target, which is exactly what's happening now. That amendment passed 7-6, but then ultimately it failed. So we went back to target for of 29,870, and that passed 7-6.
Okay. All right, Will.
I'm not in support of this, Dooley, because I do not feel we should be putting Lansing at a disadvantage. I think it's a simple question of equity. I realize you're holding them whole this year and attempting to reserve judgment in future years, but I think they have joined the fold. They should be supported as we do all the other libraries. We may have to at some point indeed cut down that level of support, but it should be across the board.
All right, my comment is that I think it's completely fair to phase in funding. You know, it's a new library. These other libraries had gone through a process in the past of being a part of getting county funding. I think it's fair that they get phased in. Secondly, I think that if we do this, one thing that it does is it brings us halfway to getting us to our 3% goal. And we are so close, everyone. We are so, so close to getting 3%. And so I think that this will take us down to like 3.1 or, you know, percent or so, which will get us closer to that target. So I think it's logical to phase it in, and I think it gets us closer to our target. That's my comments. I have Jim, I have Martha, then I have Pam, then I have Frank.
Thank you, Nathan. Good comments. All except that I have to agree with Will that I think if you join the fold, then you get funded the way everyone else is funded. And I think the bigger discussion is what we will do in another year. If, in fact, there's a will here to do something with that kind of money and change it, then clearly we can do that. Being a representative that has a rural library, it's always nice to be able to say you're getting what you asked for or something close to that, and the county administrator has made that recommendation. Either way, they would get their money, but I think the message is, for me, it's, you know, you're in the group, but beware that next year the dollar amount may change.
Okay, I have Martha.
Julie, can you tell me what might happen between now and a year from now that would mean the legislature would, do you intend that we would support it at the full amount next year? Or?
I would probably, because it's close to $30,000, I would move it in, phase it in over 3 years on the taxpayers. But it was, some of the discussion made me very uneasy about what might happen to all of the libraries next, the rural libraries next year.
Okay. And do you see any sort of evaluation or a special report that would be needed by Lansing in order to move up the next step?
No. I think that they will function and they will ask us to continue to fund them and we will step up again. That would be my expectation.
Okay, I'm not going to support the amendment. I think it's, I'd hate to have them stand out a year from now and with a special target on their backs, because that's kind of what would happen, especially if the situation is worse as it might be next year. I would like to treat them all the same.
I'm happy to just have a vote.
I have a few more comments. I have Pam and then Frank.
I just wanted to point out that by doing it this way, we're still giving them the same amount of money. And even though we might be improving our tax levy figures, we would be making worse our fund balance amount. So I don't really see the logic in this, and so I think that we should just support it as we can this year, and if everybody is up in jeopardy next year in terms of our budget, and so I think we should just move ahead with it.
All right, Frank.
Thanks, Nathan. I think it's ironic that while I don't have an axe to grind certainly with Lansing or the library in Lansing, but I think it's ironic that if we do it the way it was originally proposed as opposed to Dooley's amendment, the taxpayers in all of the rest of the towns where the original four libraries exist will be paying to assist Lansing through the tax base. Frankly, I think that smacks of the city's argument that some are paying twice, but a little reversal. The thing I'd like to remind some of you of, though, the four libraries and their boards, those of us that have worked with them for a lot of years, they formed a real good collaborative group and have worked well together, coming together to negotiate items. And there was a parade for years of individuals here. And I think that this transition year, I'd like to support Dooley's amendment. While I voted against the original funding for this library, I'll support this amendment simply because I think it would give an opportunity for the library administrative people in Lansing to have an opportunity to meet with the administrative folks in the other four libraries and perhaps build that kind of a relationship that those four groups have done. And I think that it does impact our available fund balance, but I think it would be less of an impact on the taxpayers in those other four areas if they don't have to pay twice. Thanks.
Yeah. All right, I have a quick comment, and then Mike, and then Mike Sigler. I just wanted to say that our resolution in April was a commitment to the tax levy, not to a fund balance. So next, Mike.
I'm going to pass out something that came out at a chamber meeting this morning. And I want to reiterate that indeed the 3% is a goal, but I think the climate would actually push us towards being below that goal, if at all possible, given what we're looking at next year. But at the chamber meeting a week ago, Gene McFeeters, in response to the executive committee of the chamber, sent out a quick survey to their members saying, what is the impact of the financial industry and the kind of bailout dynamics on your business here in Tompkins County? Within 2 days, they got 115 or 120 responses back about the impact. This is not a summary of that survey because it's still being compiled, but part of the suggestions from that survey were summarized. One of the things that I wanted to draw your attention to, and this is a consistent message across businesses and nonprofits who are members of the chamber who responded. If you look under advocacy, you can kind of ignore the last bullet. But the consistently looking for relief, looking for lower than 3% tax levy. And so I will be supporting this motion. I think it is wise for a new library to come on in a phased way. This particular library, I believe if it's correct, got a funding district where the other libraries don't. It was voted in Lansing.
Some of the other libraries do, too.
Oh, they do? Okay. And so I think the need for this library to have the full funding right away is not as great. And I think they can plan ahead for a third each year. And as others have said, begin to join the pact of people who are operating together. I still believe in future years we may have to decrease total funding from rural libraries because I think it's actually inequitable when small libraries and big libraries and different needs get the same amount because of our lack of will to discriminate, but that's a different discussion for next year.
Mike Sigler.
Well, just two things. I mean, I'm going to vote against it just because, I like the way it is.
Why is that not a surprise?
I know. But to one point to Frank, though, is, I guess you could look at it like the other towns would be subsidizing that town, but then if you take it in reverse, that means Lansing has been subsidizing the other rural libraries for years. So.
Except they've been getting services through TCPL and the Finger Lakes Library System. Not we could go on and on with that.
Well, that's what I'm saying. I mean, I don't know. That was just kind of a weird commentary. My only concern is that it's, and this is in no offense to redheaded stepchildren. I don't want to become the redheaded stepchild of the county. So, sorry.
Steve.
Wait a minute.
Steve, are you offended?
I thought what was said about the target on its back and that kind of thing does probably hold some weight for me. So, I don't really see, again, Lansing Library did not come here in a vacuum. It's not like one day they said, hey, let's put a library up here and let's do it. I mean, this has been, about a decade, I think, worth of work. So it's not, it's not like they've been out in the wilderness here. They have been working with the other libraries already, so.
Okay. Thanks. All right, I have Martha, then Greg, and then we're going to go to a vote.
I got to say, my kids have red hair, so that would not be a target. A question, line 33A, where we are right now, the sheet I have dated 10-6. That's the surplus fund balance.
You got a sheet today, Martha.
And I don't know where it is.
What's the number there?
$870,000.
We took over 400,000 out.
Right now it's what, 870?
870.
That's 8 or 9?
That's
eight.
An
8. I guess I need a glass. Now, I want to remind us that we've had this tug of war between the surplus fund balance and the levy other years, and it can go back and forth. But you know, when we voted on our target levy back in May, we really did not know we'd be facing what we're looking at now. So I think that's one issue. And I also think I heard in that discussion many people say that 3% is a goal, that you know we might not be able to stay with it. And I think that the situation we're facing with all these unknowns from the state really elevates this line 33A in my mind more than I've ever thought about it before. So I really don't feel as constrained by the tax levy goal as maybe I used to, especially in relationship to the surplus fund balance goal. I think we're going to really have a hole. And if we don't make sure we have $1 million in that line, we're really going to be in trouble. And I think that when we talk about actual dollars in somebody's, you know, on somebody's tax bill, the difference between 0.1 and 0.2 or whatever is just not significant. It's just a tiny amount. So I really think that spending one-time money is kind of not a way to save ourselves here.
Okay, I have, who did I have after Martha? Oh, Greg and then Frank.
I have a pretty good idea what the motion is, but I was out of the room when the motion was made, so maybe you could clarify for me what the exact motion is, and then I think I might have a comment.
Yeah, the motion is to make, for the Lansing Library, to make $10,000 target, and then $19,870 one time. And that would give them parity or with funding that in terms of the total amount would be the same as the other libraries.
I supported the Lansing Library back in September when we talked about it. I in my gut I'm not sure what they actually need. What I know is what the rural library in my district needs, and. There's a lot of support for the rural library in Newfield. It provides, among other things, some high-speed internet access in a town that doesn't have a lot of high-speed internet access. And so it's a very valuable asset to Newfield. And I guess probably the Lansing Library is, to some point, an important asset to Lansing. But I'm just not 100% convinced that they need the exact same amount of funding as all the other rural libraries. But in the end, I'll support it because I think the rural libraries are important. But it's kind of a conflict for me. It's this difficult to assess, I think.
And Greg, just for just to clarify, what happened is that on September 30th, we voted to make it all target.
Right.
Right. Okay.
Thank you.
Just making sure. Okay. Are we ready to vote? Frank, sorry.
Yeah. I just want to go back to something Martha said about the necessity or the importance of zeroing in on line 33A, the surplus / deficit of available funds, and why it's important to keep $1 million. In there. Maybe I'm paraphrasing what Martha said, but the number now, as you can see up there, is $870,000. Back on October 6th, that number was $1.2 million. So we've already pulled approximately $400,000 out. And I guess it's pretty, maybe this is going to be a little bit of a controversial statement, which I'm not known to make. It's okay to do this as long as some of us that have gotten our favorite programs funded already through this expanded budget committee, which I think is a little disingenuous. We ain't going to go back over $1 million in that line unless the assessed value goes back up or David works some magic and we end up with a huge sales tax. So let's not kid ourselves.
Unless we consider my resolution.
Unless we consider your resolution. So this is really, we're playing with peanuts here, folks. The concern is where do we go from here? This is just an encouraging, a word of encouragement to the Lansing Library. It's not a damning item. I disagree with some of what's already been said. This was something, yes, that has been worked on, but it certainly was pushed through the school district. I think Mike told us that there were 20 votes that approved it. So, and Lansing is not, if we're looking at tax bases, Lansing is not the poorest town in the county. So just want to draw that to your attention. And I will be supporting Dooley's Dooley's motion.
All right, if we can all resist the response, the need to respond to Frank here. all right, well, can we vote? We ready to vote? All right, all those in favor of making $10,000 target and $19,870 one time for the Lansing Library, please raise your hand. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. All right, and oppose. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. Wait, is that right?
You were 7 first.
Oh, was I 7 the first time? Because I didn't count myself. Okay, well, let's re-vote. All right, everybody in favor of this? 1, 2, 3. Oh, wait. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. And oh, I did count myself, yeah. And oppose. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. Did we lose somebody?
Steve gets a vote.
Oh, that's true. There are 12 of us.
Oh, we had 12. Oh, yeah, that's right. We had 12 present. So that fails. All right, so that fails.
Okay. I'd like to suggest that Dooley bring this back later when we may have a full contingent.
Yeah.
I don't know if my heart's in it.
Yes, Dooley.
I wanted to address Martha's concern because I share it. And I had asked Norma, who supplies all information on every subject, what flexibility would be required in our addressing our 3% guideline for this year if we approach it a different way, the way I tend to think about it now, because I could, as I told you all, I think maybe last night, I don't remember, I would be comfortable telling my constituents that paying a dollar more a month next year in county taxes seems fully justified to me because of the services the county provides, and we are affected just as much by the CPI as they are in the economic downturn in the opposite direction. So the number that came back, $1 a month more on a medium-priced house, and I think a medium-priced house is the $160,000 house, would mean a tax levy increase of as much as 3.75%, which is not what I'm proposing to do, but I would propose to raise the levy enough to bring line 33A up above $1 million. And any motion of that sort will happen on Monday, not today, but I'm just sharing my thinking. Yeah.
Okay, you know, we still have motions to entertain, so I don't want a discussion about this right now, frankly. So with that, I'm going to just move on. Is that all right? Okay. Jim or Dooley, do any of your motions have to do with any of the staff that are in the room right now?
Who's here? I can't see.
No.
Okay, all right. Well, in that case, I'm going to start out
with...
Okay, well, then I'll start out with Jim because he came first to me.
After yesterday's vote on the WDIC money, and I guess you all had some discussion after I left for another meeting and where to park the money, and right now the money is parked in the legislature budget. Is that accurate? I would like to see if we could have support for parking the money in the administration budget. And the reason I say that is that during the interview process for the county administrator, he was able to discuss at great length his view of how to use project people and ways to get things done, including diversity and the inclusion process. And I thought his answers were excellent. And I think it's a discussion that should take place over the next few months. And you know, we've checked off a lot of things to add to the county administrator. I saw, you know, I've been keeping score in that. But I think this is an issue that clearly my role as chair of the personnel committee and people on the personnel committee and the personnel department would love to have a discussion with him about this, and I think it could be fruitful. So I would like to support moving that money, or make a motion to move that money to administration.
All right, Mike?
I second that.
All right, Michael Kamigalair seconds. All right, I have a discussion. Mike, did you also have a comment? All right, Mike, Kathy, Martha, and then Pam.
In interactions with Leslin, who made that original motion, she wholeheartedly supports this. She sees that leadership from the top in terms of an organizational development, setting a culture with respect to diversity is paramount importance of success of a program, and she really endorses putting it in administration.
All right, Martha?
Oh, I thought...
Martha. It's Martha, Kathy... Oh, I'm sorry. I had my M list. I was looking at my... It's Kathy, Martha, and then Pam.
Thank you. I appreciate Jim bringing this forward because I struggled with it a little bit last night, and I think it's significant that the chair of the personnel committee is showing support for this, and that pretty much puts the balance in its favor for me, so I'll support it.
Okay. Martha?
I thought I remembered we said clearly that it would go through the personnel committee, and I thought pending that discussion, it would be parked somewhere. So I'm glad if we clear that up today, but I think it still needs to be fully vetted by the personnel committee. I was disturbed to get two single, back-to-back single space pages on this yesterday and have to read it really quickly. And so I think it really does belong as an item under personnel, but I'm happy to have administration take the lead on it, but it still has to really be discussed by personnel.
I just want to remind
folks that I thought we had agreed.
That was actually my fault yesterday. I had used the word pending, and I immediately took it back. It was more that there would be a review of this, but it wasn't pending a review.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well,
so
the point just being that,
that there
personnel will put on its agenda. And,
all right, Pam?
I think I don't have to say anything.
Okay, all right. So all those in favor of moving this $40,000 in multi-year into county administration from the legislature, please raise your hand. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12. And opposed? All right, that passes unanimously.
Thank you.
All right, thank you, Jim. All right, Dooley, what, you have some motions? Or, yeah. Sorry.
Well, no, I have some information I want to share. Is that okay?
Okay. Do we have any? Does anybody else have a motion that they want to bring forth today? Okay. Seeing none, go ahead, Dooley.
I wanted to talk about money for alternative fuel vehicles. I was concerned about future need for the same kind of money we put in this year's budget, and I had asked Ed Marks for an update on what had happened with it, and he provided a nice answer in writing, which I will try to send out to everybody else, but I wanted to read just part of the last paragraph, because he ties it in very nicely with our greenhouse gas emission target. In 2006, we emitted an estimated 2,014 tons per year of CO2 equivalents from our vehicle fleet, including 947 tons from highway, 644 tons from the sheriff's department, and everyone else 422 tons together. The comprehensive plan's energy element is recommending a reduction of 80%, at least 80% by 2050, which would equate to an average of a 2% reduction per year between now and then. And to reduce that 2% per year would require an annual reduction of 40 tons of CO2 equivalents. Now I'm switching to the money we put aside for special vehicles for this year. Two were purchased. The two analyses we did this year that were deemed cost-effective resulted in vehicle subsidy costs of $750 per ton for the Jeep that was replaced by a Focus and $2,135 per ton for the Focus that was replaced by a Prius. You remember these cars are chosen based on the expected mileage they're going to use as well as their fuel efficiency and emissions. So if you average those two per ton dollars together, you get $1,450 per ton on average per vehicle looking into the future. And that would mean an annual investment of $58,000 above what is currently budgeted for vehicles to achieve the needed 40 tons per year. So I wanted to share that with you only because that may mean we should be considering parking $58,000 a year for this kind of usage. Maybe it will be spent by purchasing in finance when we buy these vehicles. I don't know where it will be spent or how, but I wanted to share the dollar figures with you. It's something that's not reflected in our 2009 budget because we didn't spend everything we had put aside in 2008. But it's sitting there, and it probably should be on the list of maybe we'll need it in the future that Norma had provided from our actions. So that was my part on alternate fuel vehicles.
So you're making a motion?
I'm not making a motion.
Oh, okay.
I don't think we'll know enough to make a motion on Monday, but it's sitting there.
All right. Any questions for Dooley on that? Martha?
David gave us, thank you very much, this 2008 contingency appropriations list, and at the bottom you see earmarked allocations, $550,000 we identified in contingency for specific purposes, and Green Fleet is there under for $50,000. So what you're saying, Dooley, is that you're mentioning that that's there.
It's there for this year.
If that isn't spent this year, does that?
It's not going to be spent because the problem is that we can't buy hybrid vehicles off the state contract.
Well, there are a couple of other alternative proposals that won't be hybrid, but still save a lot.
Okay. If that's not spent this year, our typical policy is it just goes into general fund or it rolls back to stays there for next year?
Just general fund.
So some kind of motion may be appropriate. I'm glad you pointed that out, Martha.
Okay. Norma? Oh.
Jim was first.
Oh, yeah, I'm sorry.
I didn't
see you,
Jim. Thank you. Am I right in assuming that there's $526,000 in the contingency fund right now?
That's right.
Plus 621.
Yeah, plus 621.
Plus the 621.
Okay.
What? We haven't come forward with any...
The balance and the earmarked balance.
We haven't had an actual... overrun the department. Yeah.
Right. There will be a lot.
And we have, but in the 09 budget, we have parked many things in contingency, right?
Mm-hmm. All right. Norma, and then Mike, and then Carol.
I just wanted to kind of remind the legislature that we put a little over probably closer to $50,000 worth of funds for increased cost in fuel, and fuel costs have gone down. I don't know whether you want to do anything about that, but it may help with funding something like this.
I'm sorry, Norma. I was talking. I didn't hear what you said. Would you repeat?
Too late. No, I just said that. I just wanted to remind everyone that we had put some money in. We've added money to the budget based on the increased fuel costs, and the fuel costs have gone down. It's target funding. I don't know whether we want to make any adjustments in those.
How much more did we increase this for next year?
The fuel.
It's
a little over $50,000.
Okay,
is it 20%?
20%.
Yeah, and it certainly hasn't gone back down to that pre-20%.
Yeah. All right. I have Martha. Wait, who is my M? That's Mike. I need to write more than just M here. Mike, and then Carol, and then Jim.
I did, while another discussion was going on, have a conversation with David about this contingency appropriation report and his best guess of where we're going to end up at the end of the year. Even though it looks like we have over $1 million now, his assessment, given other mandates that are going to be overrunning in other departments, we'll be lucky to end at $300,000, and I would conjecture about half of that, actually. So I wouldn't go expecting that this is going to be our saving grace going into 2009. But if you do add, say, a half of 300, 150, to our 870 figure, that will put us in the $1 million range.
All right, Carol.
I have a question on another matter that's not the contingency fund.
Okay.
So I just...
All right, so I'll keep you in mind then. Yep. All right, Jim?
I pass, Nate.
Okay, Martha?
To try to predict fuel prices, I wouldn't even bother.
Just reminding you that...
I've been thinking about that, okay, well, maybe we have this little easy, buffer, but I don't think we can count on them staying down.
All right. Okay, so Carol, why don't you ask your question now?
It has nothing to do with vehicles or... Okay.
Yeah, it looks like we're done with that discussion.
I have a question. I think it's for Norma on this, what used to be the salmon sheets.
General revenue
summary. I have a question on line 23. So what does that line mean? I'm just trying to reconcile that with other information I had asked you for.
This is the change on a $100,000 home.
If assessment on a home didn't change.
This is if a assessment didn't... Okay, then that answers my question. Thank you.
Okay. Martha.
I don't know if Dooley's run through the things she wanted to talk about, but I have two quick other things.
I wanted to remind people about COFA, and you've already said that's on the there. But we're going to have to do something that's either a capital program or target. One-time money will not do it for COFA. And the other thing I wanted to mention was about my exploration of possible room tax money to support the Downtown Ithaca Alliance request, which their request was based on just our library property's assessed value, not even on the land we're occupying in all our government buildings, that if the library were still on the tax rolls, the Downtown Ithaca Alliance would be getting $17,000 from them as one of the property owners in the district. And so $17,000 was what I was targeting to try to raise through room tax money. And it looks promising, but not the full amount. So I may come with a motion that has a fair amount of revenue, but a small amount of target money to make our share as landowners in the business district.
Thank you, Dooley. Mike, you had a response to that?
Not a response. I want to talk about process when people are done with their motions or questions.
Okay, all right. Well, let's have Martha go first.
Well, I'm glad, Mike, that you mentioned that the contingent fund might have enough left to make line 33A up to $1 million. I would like at some point to really look at that, and if we don't have a reasonable expectation that we can get there, I would probably at some point be making a motion to actually, however to do this, raise taxes, I suppose, to make sure we have money to cover that. So then just that's on the list of things in the future. And to go back to yesterday's discussion about alternatives to incarceration, here you go, Frank. These are evaluations from, I got here, state evaluation, state summary, Tompkins County, August 2002. Here's a federal summary.
Wait,
from,
let me back up.
Okay, here's 2002, 2003, 1999.
Are they all dog years?
No, they're pretty good. And thanks to Karen Fuller for printing out some of them. So, and I sent many of these to Tim Ashmore, so he's seen
them
too.
Can you put your name on those? Because I may have duplicates.
Okay. I just want to say, I think there's really, and I also want to mention that the I think it was in 2003, we had a visit to celebrate Drug Court Month when there was a representative from President Bush's Office of Drug Court Drug Control Policy in the White House. Visitor came to support drug court and say how enthusiastic the White House was about drug court programs and supportive as truly
a nervous witness.
Benefiting public safety. So I can get that guy's name for you if you want it, Frank.
Isn't it convenient how we have instant recall when a Republican can step forward and be used as the guiding light for a program that is so controversial. But
well,
thank you,
Nixon went to China, right? So.
Now, Frank, didn't we have a conference? Didn't we, at our last Health and Human Services meeting, wasn't there a conference that Patricia talked about people that just keep stuff? I believe that the word is hoarding, right, as a social disorder, right?
Oh, now, Martha, Nathan said...
I'm not joking. That's what we talked about.
Can you repeat that, Nathan?
All right.
Frank, how many houses do you own?
All right. Yes, Mike.
I'd like to draw everyone's attention to a resolution that Kathy Covert shared with us yesterday on our desk. It's a resolution to adopt a budget. It's really making a motion out of committee to the legislature. That will be added to our packets. I guess it'll go out tomorrow in our packets. We'll vote on this if things go smoothly on Monday. If indeed we get to that point that we are not having no more revisits, I will probably call for a caucus break partway through the Monday meeting so that different parties can caucus before we come back in and decide are we ready to actually amend the tentative budget to recommend to the legislature. If that passes on Monday, it will come to the legislature on Tuesday for a vote. So I just want to make sure people understand that process. If it doesn't, we do have a meeting scheduled for Thursday if needed. But it looks like, given the tenor and the pace of today's meeting and how many items it took up and how long it took, we should be able to finish any revisits, any balancing, break for a caucus, come back in 4 hours on Monday.
Okay. All right. I have Kathy, and then I have a comment.
Just as a point of information, from that resolution, there's a public hearing scheduled for November 10th at 7 here, so that the public can come talk to us about it then, if not in between or individually or whatever. But I think it's important to note that we will be having a public hearing before we adopt the budget.
Thank you for mentioning that, Kathy. Steve, and then me.
Okay, just a comment on the statements about the contingent fund. Looking at the 2008 contingent fund and then trying to tie that with the 2009 contingent fund. 2009 budget, you have $1,080,000 in the budget right now.
How much?
$1,080,000. Okay. $250,000 of that is for jail board outs. Currently, you're running over on jail board outs in 2008. So don't make the mistake of looking at 08 performance in the contingent fund and the amounts that are allocated there, and then also try to transfer that money to 2009. That happens through the general fund at the end of the year, so that wouldn't be a proper move. Okay?
Okay. Yeah, Frank?
Steve, the list we received is dated 10/7.
Correct.
And it shows that of the 621,000, about 526 is already spoken for.
No, it shows 830,000.
That was the
year-to-date
amount.
Pardon?
That was the original amount.
208,500 have been spent out of that, leaving a balance of 621. Then you have an additional 550. Out of that, you still have 526,458 left. But what I'm telling you is the board outs are over 250 already.
Yeah.
Okay. Now, just to wrap up, just an update on our numbers. So we're at 3.21% increase of the levy, which I think is around $75,000 or so over target. What's that?
I think it's only 45.
Over our goal, over our budget goal that we established in
45,000.
$45,500. No, it's not.
I believe.
No, it's because every 1% is about $360,000. Right. So
above 3.7.
Yeah, so we're at 0.21.
Yeah, so it's about
75,000.
Yeah, it's 75,000. Yeah. Okay. All right, so we're over our goal by 75,000, and we have about what, $870,000 in our fund balance. And so just some numbers to be aware of as we go into our revisits on Monday. And with that, I believe we are finished here. So thank you very much, everybody, and this meeting is adjourned.
2 minutes.